This episode of Risen Motherhood is brought to you in part by Crossway, publisher of the ESV Single Column Journaling Bible Artist Series. This collection of journaling Bibles celebrates the treasure of God's Word through the artistic talents of His people. These Bibles feature commissioned cover artwork designed by Christian artists like Ruth Jo Simons and many others. Each artist offers a visual entry point focused on a biblical theme or passage, all designed to help readers engage with the Bible. Just head over to crossway.org/risenmotherhood to view the beautiful covers and order your copy. We're so thankful for Crossway sponsorship. Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, hey, friends, welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Laura, and Emily's going to join me in just a couple of minutes. But first, I want to tell you guys about a couple cool things that we have all free for you to access. The first thing is our Bible study. If you have not heard about it yet, we have an awesome 5-day Bible study written by our very own Courtney Reisig that is super helpful, super digestible, super easy for a mom. You can do it in an afternoon. You can do it in a few days. You could do it in 5 weeks, whatever works for you. But we're hopeful that it'll be a great companion piece for you as you go through this obedience series with Emily and I. As you listen to the shows, this is a piece where you can kind of cross-check and learn and study God's Word firsthand for yourself. So check that out if you haven't. That can be found at risenmotherhood.com/obedience. There you're going to find all sorts of resources really about the topic, but head there to get the download. Then the second thing I want to tell you about are book clubs. You probably heard Emily talk about these last week on the show. There are tons of great resources that we're doing to equip you guys if you want to host a book club this summer. So we have a 101 where we're just walking you through, you know, even where do I meet and what do I serve food or what kind of music do I play or whatever your questions are. We're going to be answering those in a document that you're going to get for free when you sign up to host a book club. You're also going to get a leader's guide where we're really teaching you. I mean, this thing is robust and big, and we are helping you learn how to sort of think in the same way that we think throughout the book so that you can begin to take topics and subjects that we perhaps don't even talk about in the book, but you can take your own unique situation and then apply the gospel to that. So that is really like a hefty, meaty piece of content that I think is so helpful. I want all of you guys to have it. So if you sign up to be a leader, you're going to get that. And then in addition, this is so fun. As we partner with our publishing house, Harvest House, in order to make this a reality for you guys, they are giving away 1,000 mugs to the first 1,000 book groups to sign up. Each of the leaders, you're going to get this beautiful, unique mug that kind of coincides with some of the book and the art that's on there. And then your participants will also have some freebies too. So head over to risenmotherhood.com/book to learn all about the book clubs, what you're going to get, why you should sign up to host one. And we can't wait to just see all of you guys who sign up. June 6th is the last day that you can get your name in. So you've got a couple weeks here. Go forth, head over to the webpage. Okay, let's get to the show.
Hey friends, welcome back to our series on obedience. We have just been talking all about what does it look like to obey God in motherhood? How do we do that? All of those different details. And today we are getting down to the nitty-gritty of what do we do when obedience gets really, really hard? Not just because it's hard for us with our sin, but because our circumstances are really hard. So we're going to be kind of diving into suffering and obedience today.
Yeah. And when we talk about suffering, I think just to give it a little bit of definition could be helpful. There are obviously varying degrees of what suffering is or even how people would define it. And so for us, we're just kind of talking about any time that you are going through pain or distress or hardship. So that can be anything from perhaps having a child with special needs or having a husband that works long hours or going through a difficult friendship breakup. So there's all sorts of different hard things that occur in our lives where the Lord is asking us for obedience, but it feels particularly hard in that moment, or there's maybe some bigger questions going on where we're asking, Lord, what are you doing? You know, why are you doing this? Have you forgotten me? Have you overlooked me? So a lot of times it's causing more acute questions and feelings about just our relationship with the Lord.
Yeah. And I think suffering is interesting because we're promised that we're going to suffer in the Bible if we are Christians. You know, scripture tells us we shouldn't be surprised when trials come our way. Like, why is this happening to me, Lord? Like, this is going to be part of life in a broken world. It's going to be part of life living with sinners, living with sinners. It's going to be part of being a Christian and potentially even being persecuted or having different things happen as a result of your faith in Christ. And so this isn't a new thing or a shocking thing, but scripture also tells us that suffering can produce a lot of blessing in our life, and it can sanctify us and it can bring us closer to God. It can be something that prepares us for heaven. And so it's kind of this thing that we don't love that we know is going to happen, but at the same time, it can end up being this amazing gift.
Yeah. And I think as I was thinking about the Bible, just in general, kind of cruising through it in my mind, I kept thinking, pretty much every story in the Bible has like some form of suffering in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's somehow highlighting some difficulty. And I was thinking about, you know, Eve, she's banished from her home and then her son murders her other son. Like, how horrific. Naomi and Ruth, you think about them, they lose their husbands. They're both completely destitute as widows and they're in just like a lower class. They're in total poverty. We have Sarah and Hannah. Those are both women who struggled with infertility for a super long time. And then, you know, you think about Hannah, whenever she was given the gift of a son, she actually had to give that son up. She chose to give that son up into a life of service for the Lord. But just imagine, like, we're all moms listening to that. And I just think about, you know, giving up my babe at two or three and how that would be so hard. Or Mary, you know, having to watch her own son, Jesus Christ, be crucified on the cross. And sometimes I think we read these stories so often, or we hear about them and they become so familiar that we forget that these women suffered very, very real things. And if they were our friends or our family, we would be absolutely devastated for them, right? We would cry alongside them. We would bring them meals. We'd bring them gift cards. We'd send them flowers. We would be attending funerals. We'd be doing all of these things to support them. And I think it's good to sit and realize that suffering is not a new thing. It's not a unique, special thing. We're not totally alone in these hard things. And it's kind of been something that, I mean, it's definitely something that's happened since the beginning, right after the beginning of time, after the fall.
Yeah, it's definitely not new, and yet it's something that the Lord uses, and he's still, I think this is kind of hard for us to get our minds around, but that he still expects us and wants us and has good things for us if we will follow him and obey him in the midst of that, because he's going to produce fruit. And I know one of the interesting examples of that is the idea of a vine, but I have never grown a grapevine. Or I know you guys had a lot of wild stuff growing in your home when you lived in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Tell us, what do you do to a vine?
Well, we totally inherited this actually beautiful garden and prairie grasses and all sorts of different things. And my husband and I did not have green thumbs. So I do feel a little bit badly for the previous owners because we were certainly not prepared to inherit the yard of that house. But there was a grapevine. And the first year it grew so burly. I mean, it was like maybe 30 feet long. It was so long and it just grew into a gigantic bush. And we were so excited, you know, when we first bought the house, we're gonna have these luscious, beautiful, you know, grapes that we're gonna eat from. They're gonna just drape over the pergola. It's gonna be amazing. And no grapes, no fruit ever occurred. It just got bigger and bigger and bigger. I mean, it was huge, but there was not one grape on the whole vine. What we realized after doing a bit of research was that vines only produce fruit when they're dying. Like, they literally have to think they are going to die in order to produce fruit. They have to think their life is in total danger or they won't live. And so you have to viciously prune these things back. You have to cut them back to where, even for me, especially the first time that I did it, I was like, oh my word, I have definitely killed this. I mean, it's tiny, it's small, it's bare, it's just these twigs. And that is such a great analogy, I think, for what obedience looks like, especially in suffering, is that it feels like a death. It feels incredibly hard. And I think that's because what we're doing is we are killing our own natural desires, our fleshly wants. It's who we naturally are. And we're replacing them with this renewed, redeemed, sanctified kind of gospel-driven desires. You know, God says, I am making all things new. And he is doing that in ourselves, in our hearts, as we walk through difficult paths. And so I think about Matthew 7:21, you're not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So not the one who does their own will. It's the one who does the will of his Father, the one who does the will of God. So it's the person who says yes, when what they really want to do is say no.
Yeah. Well, I think what you're saying is really true, because sometimes, at least I know, I can use easier circumstances as a crutch to make me feel like I'm not doing that bad. I'm pretty good at obeying the Lord.
Yes.
But really, it's like, well, sure, when I've gotten enough sleep and people are saying thank you to me a lot and I have all of the things that I need and life is pretty smooth and easy and I've got tons of support, it does look like obedience to God isn't that hard.
Yes.
In whatever my situation is, I am able perhaps to be a little bit more patient or self-controlled or prayerful or joyful in this or that situation. But if you want to really see what's under there, cut my plant back, you know, like take away the things that kind of help scaffold that. And certainly, like, we are humans. We need real things. We need food. We need sleep, all of those things. So I'm not trying to diminish the real needs that we have. But certainly it reveals, like, what's really going on in our heart when we can't have those supports or those comforts or things are more distressing or painful. I know in the past couple of years, I've dealt with like some back pain. And I've noticed, like, if I have that pain in my back all day, I'm on edge. You know, it takes a lot more dependence on the Lord for me to have patience or kindness in a situation, because that pain is revealing my natural desire to like snap back at somebody. So I think you're really right that there is this suffering or pruning can be a really important opportunity to produce authentic fruit.
I've shared before, like, I've kind of thought, oh, suffering is the sign of a super Christian, or, you know, you read these great Christian biographies, or you hear about these great stories at church, and it's usually someone has gone through deep and very painful suffering.
Yeah, it can make suffering seem romantic.
It can, yes. But then when you are in it, you're like, this is not a chick flick. This is not romantic. This is not something I ever want. But the end goal, because God sees that big plan, the end goal is always worth it. And I'm always reminding myself that every day I have a chance to practice obedience, and I have sort of a chance to strengthen my gospel muscles in obedience, whether it's a small thing or a big thing, right? And I have a chance to choose a happy heart when I don't want to have one about whatever's going on in the evening when I'm ready to be done. And I also have a chance to have a happy heart or choose joy in Christ whenever something really devastating happens that's big and sort of implodes my world. But all of those are opportunities to die small little dust to self in order that we might be made new in Christ. And so that for me has been helpful, as I think this is just practice. Mm-hmm. Like, I am running the race. I am going forward. And each and every one of these little or big moments in my life are moments for me to continue to pursue holiness and grow more and more into the likeness of Christ.
Totally. And I think for me, even that suffering, whether it's a longer season or a short moment or just a hard thing that happens, is a gift because it exposes how weak I really am. I think that's what you're saying, right? Like, when you're in the midst of it, it just feels like, oh goodness, I never wanted this. This is so uncomfortable. This is so hard. And it kind of, at least for me, like, you know, lowers my knees to the ground.
Absolutely.
And it makes me really, really aware in a new way of how I absolutely have to pray. I absolutely have to ask for wisdom. Like, it is not optional. Or I truly have no influence over this other person's heart. The only thing I can do is bring my concerns and my desires for them before the Lord. Or you realize, like, I'm so tired and I really need support. And the only person who can do that for me right now is the Lord by his, you know, practical, just amazing means that he provides for us, either grace for the moment, or he sends a friend to our door with a meal that we weren't expecting, whatever whatever that looks like, I think that suffering can really reveal weakness. And it's a gift because it makes us cling that much more to Christ.
Well, and like on the flip side, I think what's interesting is that you can also catch moments where you've improved. And I know for me, like I think about my attitude with my husband working long hours, and that circumstance hasn't entirely changed even 10 years later. But it is amazing because every once in a while I have caught myself, and I even have told you this, haven't I? Where I've been like, you know, it's been a hard week. He's worked a lot, you know, haven't seen dad a lot. And honestly, I can say with like 100% truth that I have a peace about it. And do I like the situation? No. But have I somewhat accepted it? And have I trusted God with it? Really, ultimately, have I trusted the Lord with it? And he has grown in me a patience and just a steadfastness that my identity isn't in when my husband gets home. My identity isn't in whatever suffering I'm facing. My identity is solid. It's just a rock in Christ. And so it's been really neat to see these moments where I think to myself, that was not Laura Wiffler. There was no way that was Laura Wiffler. No, that was Christ in me. That was the Holy Spirit who has renewed my heart and transformed me. I mean, and so I would just encourage anyone who's listening, like if as you go about your day and you see these little wins, these little moments where you're like, wow, that couldn't happen to me.
That wasn't me.
That wasn't me. That was Christ in me. And like, what a gift, what a chance to worship and celebrate. But like, I tell you what, it is so encouraging when you do find those moments and you recognize them, you take a moment to stop and say, oh, I actually see that. That's what the Lord is trying to do in you. He's growing you towards holiness, which means he's transforming your responses. He's transforming your emotions. He's transforming the way that you view the world around you. And it's really encouraging when you do that. But there's also this discouraging side where you still like will fall into a huge amount of sin, right? A moment where, for example, for me, I feel like I've made a lot of progress in my anger over the years. And yet there was a moment where one of my kiddos broke a nail polish bottle like all over my laundry room floor that is white tile with white grout. I know, bad idea. And it's just red, like a murder scene in there. Mm-hmm. And I just remember feeling like frustrated and angry. And I gave into it for that moment. And I remember afterwards apologizing to my kids, asking the Lord for forgiveness, repenting. And it actually, I was really, really broken over it more than even it felt like normal because I felt like, Lord, I thought that I had mastered this. And I realized I'm just leaning on myself, you know, like I thought I had mastered this. So anyway.
For me, I think what you were saying about renewal and seeing some growth over time, I think the main thing that's helped me with practical obedience has been seeing the Word of God get rooted in my heart and in my mind in such a way that in those moments, I have to make this choice by the power of the Spirit, right? Christ in me, not Emily, to say, I'm going to act on what that scripture says. I am not going to act on what I feel right now, because I think we do not want to diminish feelings. Feelings give us great information. They tell us what's going on in our hearts and what's going on in our bodies. So it's not to diminish that, but to know that that feeling I have right now isn't the last word. The Word of God is what is going to have the last word on what I do in this situation, because I've noticed that more and more as I've gotten older, that I can tell familiar feeling patterns that are going to come up at different times. And even in the midst of relationships and being obedient to be like, okay, I'm going to look out for this other person's interests, or I'm going to try to communicate with them in a way that I know is loving. Whereas, you know, 5-10 years ago, I maybe would have just spit out my thoughts. It's like, no, I'm going to remember what the Word of God says about how I love my neighbor or how I love my husband, or, you know, being long-suffering, being somebody who's going to be slow to speak. And I want to act on that more than the impulse, you know. And I think for me, suffering has really helped me realize how much I have to have that to cling to. Because if I rely on my own internal idea of what's right and wrong in a moment when things are hard, I'm like probably going to choose the wrong thing.
Absolutely. Well, and it's the whole, we become what we behold, right?
Right.
The more that we spend time with Jesus, the more into his likeness we'll become. And so I agree. Like that's where I have found the most growth is spending time in the Word of God and then reading about the things of God and then talking with my friends and family about the word of God, like in the local church. Woohoo. Sorry. Should have mentioned that one for sure at the beginning. But those, you know, that's where you do a lot of those things. But for me, that is how I feel like I've grown. You know, Emily and I have never gone to seminary. We've not taken like any classes, but because we spend time with the Lord, we've gotten to know him and we have so much more to grow in this. But it's that idea of the more that you can spend time with him, the more that you will know how Christ would respond or how Christ would act or what he would say and just what the Lord is asking of us in order to be obedient.
Yeah. And I think circling back to that idea of suffering, exposing who we really are, making us weak, helping us understand, you know, kind of we talked about our Fear of God series, like who we are in relation to God. I think it also softens us to like the acceptance of his will for our life that, wait a second, I'm actually not God, right? He knows our frame. We are like but dust is what it says. And we actually can't, you know, plan our own lives very well or establish our own steps in a wise way. And so that requires us to totally give ourselves over to the Lord and to trust him that he actually knows all of the different ins and outs of our lives and everybody that's in our lives. And he can see everything and make wise judgments and make great plans for our good and his glory. And I think suffering helps us trust him more in that as we see him produce blessings through suffering that we never, ever would have chosen for ourselves. But those are actually the good means that God ordains to get us where we're going.
Suffering forces us to choose, right? Mm. It says the rubber is meeting the road. And now you must choose. Will you choose Christ or will you choose your own path, your own way? I think so much of it goes back to the fear of the Lord, of what we talked about a couple, that or the last mini series, versus kind of regular human or worldly fear. But so much of being able to obey in suffering when life gets hard is having a proper reverential fear of God. And I think until we're fully given over to that, until our whole hearts fully believe that, and we say, okay, I'm going to give up my rights. I'm going to give up my body. I'm going to give up my talents, my mind, my self-image, my importance, all of the ways that I think that I am equipped and important, then we won't be able to serve God fully, or we won't be able to suffer well, or we won't be able to do his will until we're able to say like, okay, I give you my all, God. And when that kind of comes in place, I shared this on Instagram, but I thought it was just so, I don't know, acute, like this huge moment with my kids where I realized that they had been asking anytime I gave them an instruction or asked them to obey me, they would come back and they would say, why? Actually, they would like yell it across the yard. They wouldn't even come. They wouldn't even obey. And eventually I pulled them aside and just said, hey, kiddos, instead of saying why right away to mom's instruction, can you just say, yes, mom, just obey first. And then later on, after you've obeyed, you can ask me why. And I will gladly tell you why, but it's not okay for you to first be like, you need to convince me why I need to come inside for dinner. And I think that's so often what we do with God whenever we're not fully given over to him. Our response is, well, why God? Why this? Why? I mean, convince me all the ways that I should suffer well through this, or I should obey you in this, or I should say it's okay. When really our first response should be, Lord, I accept. I will do your will. Father, let it be as you say. Of course we can ask why, but we are always mixing up the order of those two things. And I think of, is it Amy Carmichael who said, in acceptance lieth peace? Mm-hmm. That's her famous quote. And it is such a powerful quote. Like that comes to mind. My husband and I joke about it a lot of like, what are we getting for dinner tonight? Chinese. Oh, I don't want Chinese. No, in acceptance lieth peace, honey. but really that quote is so helpful when you think about, okay, if I accept, if I trust God fully, if I believe that he is good, and I do, then like I can accept this and I can have peace here in this. And so there is a time to ask for justice. There is a time to ask for the why. There is a time to say, can you change this, Lord? But as Christians, our posture, if Christ is reigning supreme in our lives, then that is a time for us to just say, yes, Lord.
And I think our whys really reveal what we expect about how things should be,
yeah,
right? Because the reason why we're asking why is because it doesn't line up with what our idea is of life or somebody's response to us or the way things should have gone. And I think that's another real gift of suffering and trusting God in the midst of it is aligning our, you know, will to his. It's, you know, take my heart and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. What is it? Take my will and make it thine.
Oh, yeah. Always only forever thine. I don't know.
We're going to get it because this, I love that hymn, and we were listening to it the other day in the car, and it really goes through like all the different parts of your body, like take my hands, take my heart, take my feet, take my voice, and all the different parts of our body, and talking about how we want to give all of those over to the Lord so that he can use every part of who we are for his glory. But I think for me, whenever I start asking why, it's because I thought I had a right to something that perhaps I didn't have a right to because I'm not the Lord over my own life, you know, the right to feeling healthy and well mm-hmm. and great all the time, or, you know, the right to conflict-free things. And I think there is a redemptive piece of that that's really good, right? It's like that longing for heaven because deep down we know it shouldn't be like this. It shouldn't be broken like this. It shouldn't hurt like this. We shouldn't cry. We shouldn't have to struggle and suffer. But then there's this other piece where we are not accepting that that's not yet. We are not there yet. We're not to the end yet. And as long as we are here on earth, we are still going to be crying. There is still going to be brokenness. And we are going to have to follow the Lord so that he can be our refuge and our protection all the way to the end.
If we align our expectations properly with what we should be having here on earth, a couple different things will happen, right? One will be, I think this world will become a little bit sweeter, even in the suffering, because we're not expecting it to fully fulfill us. We're not expecting it to be our all or for all of our dreams and desires and wants to become a reality. There's this idea of letting heaven be the real heaven. Stop trying to make earth heaven. And so I think it was Tim Keller. We heard him talking mm-hmm. about this one time where he said, don't ask this world to be something that it's not meant to be. And that has been really helpful as I keep an eternal perspective in mind for my suffering, that this life is not just for me to have a lot of fun and for it to be super easy, but it's actually for me to be sanctified, to grow in holiness, to become more and more like Christ, to learn obedience the same way that my Lord did. And so when I have sort of that cap on or those lenses on, that helps me to know when I'm faced with choices where I feel like obedience is really hard, that I can say, no, this is what it's all about right now. It's for my good, for God's glory. It's for my own growth. And that, I think, helps me settle in my soul this idea of being able to accept what the Lord's hand has for me and to walk in all obedience and saying, yes, Lord, you know, this is from your hand and I will accept.
Yeah. And just as a final encouragement with obedience and suffering, remember that as we choose to follow the Lord and do his will in whatever hard circumstances we're facing, we also have a chance to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ in the church. And I think sometimes we have a very individual focus in our suffering, like the lens is on me, what am I learning, how am I being sanctified? And like, yes, that's true, that's absolutely happening. But some of the most encouraging things that I've seen in my own journey of obedience with the Lord is watching other saints endure really tough things and stay faithful to the Lord in the midst of it. And their obedience and suffering is a gift, and it is something that God uses to spur the church up to love and good works and kind of further, you know, it's like a ripple effect in the family of God is seeing, oh, this person endured in the midst of their hard thing. That's what that looks like. I can do that too. And so just remember that it's not just about us. It's about how we are contributing to that family of God, to the kingdom of God, and encouraging our sisters, our friends in that journey along with us.
Hi, my name is Martha, and I donate to Risen Motherhood because I want other moms to also be encouraged, challenged, and strengthened in their faith as they're in the trenches of parenting. Risen Motherhood has been a huge blessing to me as I've navigated mom life, not pointing me to lists of rules or tips, but rather always back to Christ. Join me in providing free gospel-centered resources for moms through Risen Motherhood at risenmotherhood.com/donate.
Risen Motherhood is a nonprofit organization made possible by people just like you. And don't forget, you can download your free Bible study at risenmotherhood.com/obedience. And you can sign up for book clubs at risenmotherhood.com/book.